Blog Talk Radio.
NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight.
Of the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. We're going East Coast, West Coast, North Border, South Border, across the nation to bring you the NFL Draft Bible Prospect Locator Show. I am your host, Rick Saratella, for the next about an hour, hour and a half or so as we talk to some potential draft gems, diamonds in the rough, coming up just 3 days away now from the 2012 NFL Draft, and we're going to welcome in our first guest on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show, which is West Texas A&M, Tommy Hampton, running back, looking to put the small school on the map. Tommy, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for taking some time out of your schedule here. We are just 3 days away from completing this journey, and I know it's a long process as far as going back and putting in all the work the past few months leading up to this point in time. What's going through your mind as we just sit here 3 days away from the whole process?
Just patience and you know, staying humble. And like these past few days, I've been going to visit family. People I haven't seen in years, I haven't really realized it's been so long since I really just sat back and spent time with family, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about the small school label, and, you know, based on some of the players that we've had on in previous shows, you know, they kind of feel like it does take a little bit more to get noticed playing for a small school. Now, on top of that, you know, you had a record-breaking season at the junior college level, Los Medanos in California, a Bronx kid playing in California, going over there and rushing for over 1,700 yards in 2009, being the junior college all-star game MVP. Then you come to West Texas A&M, and it's more of a passing attack. So talk to us a little bit about that whole evolution. I mean, was it frustrating to come over and be featured in more of a passing-orientated offense?
It was a little frustrating, but I mean, it was something to learn from, you know. I mean, it also helped me become more versatile, because now I'm really excellent catching up the backfield now, you know. And the offense was completely different from what I was used to. They also didn't even huddle up. We ran no huddle, so I had to learn to get players from the sideline, you know, which I didn't do that much ever, junior college or high school. So.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, running and catching the ball, you've drawn some comparisons to Darren Sproles over nearly 1,000 total yards the past two seasons, playing in that passing attack and running the ball, catching the ball. Now, you went at your pro day and ran a 4.45 40-yard dash, which definitely bodes well. Little jet fuel rocket on the ankles there. What was the feedback that you gathered from the pro day?
I got some good feedback from the pro day. A lot of the scouts, what they liked it most is, you know, after we did our 40s and our short shuttles, you know, we stayed and I ran routes and caught passes, and they said, I actually looked very good, and some of them actually liked me at slots, and I ran some slot routes too. And So, you know, they just, I mean, that's the good feedback I got from that. And they like my quickness and catching and getting up the field.
Now, we talked about the running ability, pass catching ability. What's one aspect of your game that you kind of feel is underrated or you don't get enough recognition for?
Basically, between the holes, you know, because I'm a smaller scat back. A lot of people may you know, just count me out in between the holes on the inside run. I mean, and I feel really comfortable running in there, you know. I'm not one of those quarterbacks that don't want to do it. I will do it, and I like to do it.
Yeah, you definitely have, despite, you know, 5'9", you come in at about 190 or so. So you have the muscle mass, the lower body strength to run it between the tackles. And, you know, sometimes guys like yourself are kind of harder to find. You know, they get in there between the tackles. They get lost in the shuffle. All of a sudden, they're coming out the other end of the hole, breaking away for a big play. And speaking of big plays, I know, you know, you guys beat Central Missouri 26-7 in the Lower Kansas Bowl, last game of your collegiate football season, in which you actually scored a touchdown, helped your team to victory. Take us to the bowl game and what kind of feeling that was to cap off a nice career with a touchdown and a team victory.
It was really nice, and what made it even better was we lost to them in the first round of the playoffs the year before previously. So basically, it was almost like the rematch from last year. And, you know, our seniors and their seniors, we already knew that, you know, they beat us last year. So everybody, you know, we wanted to win. We wanted to beat them this year. And our last chance to play them ever, pretty much.
Yeah, definitely a good way to end it. So you guys go out with the bang. And, you know, you go to the pro day, you've got some interest, some teams calling up, and, you know, it's been a long draft process now. So it's all coming down, and I'm looking, talking to Tommy Hampton here, West Texas A&M. I see that you are a pre-law major over at West Texas A&M. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
So maybe some plans to get involved with law down the road, maybe after the ball playing career is over?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I want to go to law school and, you know, eventually become a lawyer. It's always been something I felt like I could be good at, you know, or do. So it's kind of my dream outside of football.
Interesting. Okay. And, you know, getting back to the playing on the field, West Texas A&M, junior college All-Star Game MVP. Before that, you know, who's the toughest team or toughest opponent that you guys matched up against during your career?
Did you say my whole career or just?
Yeah, you know, you can go back through your college career, an opponent or a player that kind of stood out that, you know, you guys had to prepare for extra tough.
Oh, well, in high school we had our rivals was Kennedy High School, and we used to practice for them way after hours. We used to stay hours after practice. Coaches would keep us there longer. Kennedy, it was called Kennedy Week. We would stay every day. Practice was longer, at least an hour or two.
Yeah, and you played high school up in the BX. You know, talk about playing over there in the Bronx. I think you came out of New York and. I'm here in New Jersey, so, I mean, how was it going from New York to the West Coast, then down to Texas? You kind of went from coast to coast and then all the way south. How was it for a New Yorker to experience the different cultures?
It was actually good. That's one thing I'm happy that I did. You know, it actually, you know, changed me and kind of molded me to who I am today, because I've seen so many different things, and I was, you know, and just knowing how things are out there, I mean, on the West Coast, and, you know, how things are in Texas. Because, you know, a lot of times growing up in New York, you don't really know anything besides it, you know? And
yeah, I mean, especially when you talk about California and Texas, I mean, those are two states known for putting out some big-time college football players, and even at the high school level, it's a big deal for those two states. So, you know, leading up to West Texas A&M, you know, we talked about shattering the records at the junior college level. You come up to West Texas A&M, you go out, you have a good pro day, people comparing you to Darren Sproles. You know, what's something that, you know, you've been working on improving leading up to the draft?
things that, I mean, it's not really one particular thing that I've worked on improving. I've basically worked on my whole game, everything, you know, everything. Everything that I possibly can without, you know, being in pads, of course, but, like, you know, quickness, speed, strength, you know, even knowledge of the game, you know.
Now, I do believe you also received a regional combine invite. Take us through that whole process. The NFL kind of conducted some smaller regional combines after the NFL scouting combine for, you know, players that kind of got snubbed from the combine, and you performed in the one down in Atlanta. A bunch of NFL teams on hand. Talk a little bit about that experience and the feedback that you gathered from that event.
It was actually pretty fun and, you know, cool just to be around, you know, other players that, you know, just basically with the same motivation and going through the same grind that I'm going through, you know, and just talking to some of them and, you know, all the scouts, everybody there was, you know, cool. It was more of a relaxed setting, but I mean, everybody was showing, you know, their talents or whatever. It was nice, you know, it was fun. I enjoyed myself there, got good feedback, and I mean, it was an enjoyable experience.
All right, and you know, we are talking to West Texas A&M running back Tommy Hampton. You know, we like to do something called Three and Out on this show, but before we do, I want to give you the platform and an opportunity, you know, for any NFL team out there that might be listening. You know, tell us why an NFL team should take a chance on Tommy Hampton.
I feel like I'm the diamond in the rough, and there's a lot of us, but I feel like I'm one of them. And, you know, basically on the team, I work hard, and I give them my all, and I produce too. So, you know, and I'm very versatile. Slot, running back, kick return, punt return, you know. So I feel like I could be a good asset to any team and help out.
Yeah, and you mentioned,
you know, special teams, like kickoff, punt return, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned the special teams. Let's talk about that for a second real quick, because, you know, that just makes yourself that much more attractive at the next level, you know, being able to play that special teams role. Is that something that, you know, based on the teams that you've spoken with, is that something that they're looking at you as a return man as well?
Oh, yeah. Every scout I speak to always asks about kick return, you know, because that's something I specialized in and I'm good at it. And yeah. a lot of teams are always looking for that, you know, kick return guy and make a big play.
Yeah, there's not enough of them at the next level. It's a great way, especially to get noticed in a camp, make a big play on special teams. So we got Tommy Hampton here, West Texas A&M. It's time to go three and out, Tommy. You know, you played high school in New York. You played at the junior college level in California, and then you eventually winded up playing football in Texas. I got to ask you, of the three states, which one had the best food?
The best food?
Yeah, a lot of diverse food. You know, I know it's hard to top New York, but
if you're talking New York, Cali, Texas, I'm gonna have to say New York. You know, but we have a lot of diverse food here.
Yeah, and you have one special favorite place in the Bronx that you go to a lot?
Yeah, it's a pizza shop on Westchester Square. It got like humongous slices, and you can put like anything on it. It's just delicious, though.
All right, good to know. Second down, if you had one female celebrity you could take out on a date, who would it be?
I usually call it prep. I want a new one. I'm gonna go with Lisa Ray today.
All right, depends on what kind of mood you're in. Depends on what day of the week. Okay, I like that. All right, and third down, we have what's on the Tommy Hampton iPod rotation when you're working out? What are you listening to?
I like my favorite rapper is Nas. I like Wale. I like J. Cole. Well, basically, in genre, I'm listening to hip hop. You know. Particular,
well, if you're tuning in to the NFL draft this weekend, I know ESPN has Nas on board. He did all the music for the NFL draft, for the draft weekend. So you can definitely tune in and check that out. And we'll be checking you out, Tommy Hampton, West Texas A&M running back, taking some time out of his schedule here to join us on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show, Pro Prospect Locator. And we'll be keeping tabs on you, Tommy, and best of luck to you this week.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. That was Tommy Hampton, West Texas A&M running back, diamond in the rough, 5'9", buck 95, 4.45 at his pro day, and definitely one to watch for as NFL training camps get underway. You heard him talk about the returns, you know, the special teams, great way to get noticed and make an NFL team is returning kicks. Now, we're going to keep the show moving right along. We got commercial-free draft talk for you. I'm your host, Rick Saratella. Check us out, NFLDraftBible.com. You'll be able to listen to the archive of these interviews after we wrap up the show. So now we move from Tommy Hampton over to our next guest. We want to welcome into the show Shepherd defensive back Elijah Big Play Davis, joining us on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. Welcome to the show, Elijah. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule. And we call you Big Play Davis because, you know, you just were a beast this past season with 6 interceptions this past year, 283 return yards, and 4 of them for touchdowns. I know 2 of them went for about 80-plus yards.
Yes.
Tell us, you know, where do you get this knack for the football? Is this natural instincts? Is this something you practice? How do you come up with these big plays?
You know, part of it has to do with just, you know, watching film and knowing your opponent and knowing you know, what's going to happen on what down and, you know, what to expect as far as a passing route. Also, I think it's just an act to have, I guess, to have a nose for the ball, I guess. You know, playing when I was a little, I played a lot of running back and, you know, middle linebacker. So I feel like with those, you have to be able to, you know where the ball is going to be at and know how to get there the best way possible to make a play. So, you know, I just used all that, the training that I got as a little kid and through high school and college, and also with film study and knowing what's going to happen on a certain down to, you know, get some of these big plays.
Okay, a former running back. So that shows, you know, when the ball's in your hands, you almost become like an offensive player.
Exactly.
In the open field and showing good hands and earning yourself Division II First Team All-American honors. Always a nice notch on the resume. So you guys at Shepherd, I believe, also had the number one ranked defense in Division II. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is correct. We actually just got my coaches actually sent me a picture today of the plaques that we got sent from the NCAA. So, yeah, that is true. We did have the first team overall defense in the nation last year.
Okay, remarkable. Another remarkable notch on the profile. So, you know, we're talking to Shepherd defensive back Elijah Davis, big play safety back there, kind of a Ed Reed comparison in the past from my findings. You know, a lot of people, coaches and such, have talked about your big play ability. And you were a 3-year starter for Shepherd. So talk about, you know, you talk about your experience, film study, and then this past year being a senior team leader in that type of role. How did you embrace that role? Were you a leader, you know, kind of a quiet leader, a vocal leader? What kind of leadership skills did you demonstrate as a senior team captain this past year?
As a senior team captain, you know, I kind of had previous experience with being captain because actually I was actually voted by my team my junior year to be to represent the team as being a captain. So that was definitely a big honor for myself because, you know, they actually looked up to me as being a person that they can trust, they could talk to, and that they, you know, they believe could handle being a captain, you know, to represent the whole team. But this senior year, I really feel as though I don't know, just everything that I've done as far as just football and being able to just be a natural born leader. You know, my mother always told me to, you know, be yourself, you know, do what you do best, and you know, don't let anybody else hinder you. And, you know, people will take note of that and they will follow and they will, you know, accept and appreciate what you're doing. So, you know, I just try to be a personable person and, you know, let everybody know that, you know, I'm looking for the team's best interest in whatever we're doing, you know, because when it comes down to it, in the end of the day, you need 11 people on the field to actually play, you know, as being on the defense, that is. You need 11 people to play their position and, you know, to get the job done. So, you know, just having people trust you is a big thing. And I just like to, you know, people to gain my trust and, you know, we can ride out and have fun.
Well, it sounds like you guys definitely had that team chemistry, the number one ranked defense in the nation. Do you feel like you guys set out as far as what you guys plan to do? Did you guys meet expectations or your personal and team goals this past season? Do you guys feel like you guys achieved what you wanted to this year?
On the defensive side of the ball, I say that we achieved what we wanted to do because, you know, at Shepherd, we're really, you know, you stop the run, they have to fat, you force them to pass. And, you know, we did a good job of that. We stopped the run. I think the people only averaged about 62 or 67 rushing yards on us a game, the lowest rushing yards in game or something like that. But overall, as a team, you know, there was disappointment this year because, my junior year, we were in the national semifinals, a game to get to the national championship. We were there. And then this past year, we didn't even make it to the playoffs, considering that we lost two straight games. So, you know, there was definitely disappointment within the team in that. But at the same time, it gave the younger guys, you know, it gave the younger guys something to remember and something to think about and something to drive them for this upcoming year so they can, you know, do better when the time comes.
Very well said. We're talking to Shepherd defensive back Elijah Big Play Davis. Elijah, I got to ask you, you know, you guys – you talk about that number one ranked defense this past season. Was there any opponent that gave you guys a tough time? Was there a quarterback or an offense that you guys had to study extra hard for?
This past season, I think the team that really gave us a hard time, I believe, would be a team we lost to was West Virginia Wesleyan. You know, that game we had a couple key players on the defensive side that were injured and that couldn't play, but also, at the same time, other people on our team had to step up. So I think, you know, the combination of that and also just with, you know, West Virginia Wesleyan's ability to pass the ball and spread the ball out and get the ball out quickly, you know, that put pressure on us. And they were able to have, you know, put together a good scheme against us, and they were able to make it work effectively. And I guess, you know, that caused the game to go over to two overtimes, and, you know, we eventually fell to that one. But yeah, I think West Virginia Wesleyan was probably one of the harder games this year.
Yeah, high-tempo offense style that they run. You know, what's one of the things personally that you've worked on improving as far as, you know, in your game leading up to the draft? What's one area that you've worked to get better at?
Playing defensive back, I believe that, you know, you can always get better with your hips and your movement, your motion, as far as with your hips and your feet work. That's a big part of the game, you know, just being able to move with your receiver and, you know, be in front of him and know where he's going to be going and not have any slip-ups. So I've been working a lot on my hips and just trying to, you know, stay flexible and be able to move whenever I have to.
And what would you say is the biggest strength of your game?
The biggest strength of my game, I would have to say, is my ability to be able to read and react. You know, I don't have to, you know, there's really not much thinking I have to do once, you know, because I believe that, you know, I go in, I study what I have to do or, you know, the opponent that we have to play in, you know, that thing, like everything that they're going to do just becomes mental at that point. And, you know, you just pretty much get on the field, you read and react. And, you know, that's caused me to be able to make, you know, a lot of key plays and whatever, in certain games. So I believe, you know, just being able to go out there and just read and react and just make plays is a big part of my game.
Defensive back Elijah Davis joining us right now, Shepherd, for NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. Now, Elijah, you come in at about 5'8", 188, 36-inch vertical jump, very good leaping abilities. But what are you going to say to the NFL teams that try to knock you for being undersized? What do you say to those critics?
What I would tell them is, you know, you can't, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. I know that sounds cliche, but I mean, it is the truth. There's a lot of point in times where, you know, somebody may look undersized or they may look like this or that, and they become one of the top success stories that, you know, a organization or a team has to offer. And I believe that, you know, although I may be undersized, as a lot of people will say, I know that I'll be able to contribute to a team in however form or fashion they need it. And, you know, I am versatile. I can play a lot of things, and, you know, I'm able to, you know, do what is asked of me, and I'm able to do it well. So I believe, you know, just being able to go out there and play is one of the big things that people need to be able to see. You know, if I'm just given a shot, then I'm pretty sure that I'll be able to, you know, wow some people.
And I know you're a guy that just loves football. I mean, you immerse yourself in it. You're around it all the time. Mm-hmm. I know even when you're not playing football, I know that you're refereeing football. I know you help out in some of the youth leagues locally and serve as a referee. How did you get involved in that, and what took your interest in becoming a referee for some of the youth leagues?
You know, working with children, just working with youth in general is something that I'm really passionate about. I really feel as though, you know, if I'm able to, you know, put an imprint on one person's life or one kid's life or however many kids that is, you know, that's a big thing to do, especially, you know, these days. There's a lot of people or a lot of kids that, you know, can be stirred in the wrong direction. There's a lot of things that tempt kids to go in the wrong direction. But, you know, recreation is something that I love. Football is something that I love dearly. And working with the youth, I mean, it gets no better than that. You know, they're still at the young age where, you know, they're going to make mistakes. So you have a lot that you can help, you know, critique them on, positive that is, and, you know, just make them a better football person, but also just make them a better person in general. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I really look forward to doing.
Talking to Shepherd defensive back Elijah Davis here on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. Before we get to our three and out, I always like to give every player an opportunity, you know, to speak to any NFL team out there that might be listening, to tell us why they should draft Elijah Davis.
Why you should draft Elijah Davis? I feel as though I am intelligent. You know, I'm able to do what's asked of me. I'm a very personable person, like I said before. You know, I'm able to work well with others. When dependent on me, I can show up and be that person, you know, to do whatever. You know, I'm ready to play. I'm passionate about the game, and you know, there's not much. I really feel as though there's not much negative to me as far as being a person and being able to, you know, help people out and, you know, just be something positive for an organization that, you know, they're looking for, that, you know, they need more of. I think I'm that person.
All right, Elijah Davis here, Shepherd defensive back. Time for some three and out. I know you're used to that, playing in the number one ranked defense in the nation. So we're gonna go first down. You know, we talked about your experience refereeing in the youth leagues. What's a hobby or something else that you like to do off the field when you're not playing football or working out, Elijah?
A hobby that I like to do. I really just like hanging out with my, you know, hanging out with my friends that I haven't seen. You know, a lot of my friends are all spread out. You know, they're all doing their college thing or now I'm busy working. So, you know, whenever there's a chance to get together and just have, you know, just have a nice time out, you know, I like to do that. That's one of the things I like doing most.
Okay, second down. We'll give you one person you can have in a foxhole. You get to choose one person to have with you in a foxhole. Who would it be?
I don't know. Since we're in a foxhole, I feel like though that'd be a stressful situation. So I'd have to have somebody funny. I don't know. Right now, you know, Kevin Hart, he's running things. So, you know, somebody that could lighten the mood. I mean, that'd definitely be fun.
All right, and third down for you. Trying to get up on some music across the nation. We've had classical, we've had hip hop. You know, who's in?
Hello. Hello.
for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
Okay, we are back, and I apologize for the technical difficulties that we had, but we're back on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show, never skipping a beat. And we're going to move on to our next player spotlight on this NFL Draft Pro Prospect Locator Show as we go coast to coast, border to border. And our next guest on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Hotline is Arkansas State long snapper William Trey Outlaw. Welcome to the show, Trey. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well, and it's not too often, I got to be honest, it's not too often we get to feature long snappers here on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show, but, you know, you guys definitely play a critical role in the game. Just ask any New York Giants fan, and you mentioned the name Trey Junkin, and they will cringe. So, you know, let's start off because, you know, a lot of people hear long snappers and say, you know, they, you know, if they get drafted later on in the draft, so you guys don't get much shine or spotlight. But you were invited to the Players All-Star Classic back in February where there were a lot of NFL scouts on hand. Take us through that experience and what kind of feedback you gathered from that event.
It was an awesome experience. To tell you the story at the start, before I actually get invited, I was working out at my university snapping, and I got back to my phone, and I had 4 missed phone calls from this number from Washington. So I thought, you know, maybe it's a team calling, not sure, and it ended up being a guy from the All-Star Classic, and he said, how about we make each other's day? I need a snapper down here. Can you get down here? And, well, of course. You know, it's, I really appreciate the honor for getting invited to this. Little Rock's about 2 hours from Jonesboro, so I had to head down there that night. This was the Tuesday right before the game on Saturday. So I got there, and first thing I noticed, there's, you know, tons and tons of scouts. I had a couple of teammates there, DeMario and Kelsey and Brandon Joyner and Jarvis Woods, they were already, and Bull, Jermaine Robinson, they were already there. And so it was fun to get to play with some teammates again. But like I said, there was tons and tons of scouts there. And the very next day I got to go snap, and I started having these guys come up to me and give me phone calls and saying, you know, we saw you snap today in practice. We're really impressed. Let me get your information from you. At this point, I didn't have an agent at the time, and there was the strength conditioning guy there. He talked to me and asked me if I had an agent. Said, you know, no, sir, I don't. And he introduced me to Brad. You know, said it's very important you get you a good agent, get your name out there. And so from the All Star Classic, you know, I got a great agent out of Brad Berkowitz, and really got my name out there, and really discovered that you know, how good of a chance I have at making, being able to make a team when you have all these scouts from different teams coming in and saying that, wow, you know, your snaps are there. Looks awesome. We want to keep in touch with you.
Yeah, you are certainly in good hands with Brad. Brad Berkowitz, that is. I mean, this guy is a nonstop, all-out hustler in the industry, so he will definitely do a great job for you. And I know that he told me that quite a few teams have called since that Players All-Star Classic. So, you know, the NFL interest is there. NFL teams calling around. Pretty good feeling for you. It must be to be wanted at the next level. Always a role for long snappers. And kind of to enhance some of your skills. I know you went to the Gary's Honor specialty camp and drew a lot of praise over at his camp. Talk to us about that experience and some of the things that you took out of the specialty camp.
Well, Coach Zahner's camp, you know, he has the best there. He was a special teams coach for several years, and all we've heard is, you know, if you want to play in the NFL, you go to his combine, and because he has the scout's ears. And whenever I got there, you know, there's guys from University of Tennessee, University of Southern Cal, and Southern Florida, all these big BCS schools, which, you know, Arkansas State's a BCS school, but we don't have the recognition as some of the other schools do. And I just wanted to see how good I was compared to them. And also coming from a team that has a spread punt philosophy, didn't get to block as much. I did do pro style for 2 years, but, you know, it's been 3 years since we've done pro style. So really with Coach Zahner's camp, he helped me out with my blocking a lot. And the other thing was getting to see how I matched up with other kids from across the country. And it was a blessing to be able to go out there and blessing to be able to do as well as I did.
Yeah, and, you know, definitely another good place to gain some recognition and get noticed by some NFL scouts. As teams take notice of William Outlaw, Arkansas State long snapper. And, you know, Arkansas State, you know, while it's not going to have the national recognition as some of these big-time draft prospects, very quietly Arkansas State has been putting some NFL players in the pros, kind of under the radar school for some pro talent. But do you think, you know, with that small school label, do you think sometimes it is a little bit harder, you have to work that much harder to get recognized by some of the pro teams?
Definitely, because you're on TV every single Saturday. You might get lucky to have two or three games on TV a year. And it's, you know, just because you go to a smaller school doesn't mean you're not as good as the other kids that go to an SEC or Big Ten or Big 12 school. And that's a lot of why, one of the reasons why I went to Coach Zahner's camp, just to get my name out there and to show that I'm just as good as everybody else is. But we have some good guys. We have some guys that definitely will and can make some NFL teams, and some that might even start this year.
And how is it, you know, practicing? You know, you guys got a handful of guys on the NFL radar. I mean, you know, what kind of tempo? I mean, it must be a pretty intense practices playing against some of the top talent across the country when you're on the NFL radar. I mean, you know, that's some good talent to have going up in competition on a daily basis.
Oh, definitely. You know, iron sharpens iron, and you know, you wanna play with your best guys out there and practice against your best guys. And with Coach Freeze this past year, he had philosophy of, you know, we want to have our best guys out there at all times, and so we had our all conference sack leader, defense player of the year on punt return, and had our all-conference safety and all-conference linebacker on punt return. So practicing against those guys every day, having to block and run downfield and make a tackle, that's something that's definitely it breeds competition, wanting to be the best, and it makes you better.
Yeah, and it definitely prepares you for the next level. Now, I know you guys went on a heck of a winning streak this past season. You started off 1-2, and then you just cranked out the victories. You must have won about 7 or 8 games in a row. I mean, what was the turning point there, you know, after that loss to Virginia Tech? What was the turning point there that kind of had you guys turn it on?
To be honest with you, we became a family. We were a family. We put each other's needs first. We became selfless, and we put it's a God thing. We put God in the center of it, and just went about our business, working as hard as we could, and not taking any excuses. Whether we were on the road or at home, didn't matter if we played on turf or grass or even paved car parking spots. We just wanted to go out there and play football and do our best to honor God and honor each other and play hard for Coach Freeze.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys must have, you know, kind of sensed it coming together. I mean, you think Arkansas State, but you guys played some big-time competition. I mean, you were competitive with Illinois in the season opener. You guys whooped Memphis 47-3, which is, you know, pretty quality football team. And then you play Virginia Tech, who's ranked 13th in the nation, and you guys are in it. I mean, 27-6, you guys get the loss, but you come out of that, you got to be feeling somewhat good to play competitively with the 13th ranked team in the nation before you guys go on that big time winning streak. You know, do you think we're talking to William Outlaw, Arkansas State long snapper? Do you think you guys, as a football team, achieved what you sought out to do this season?
Oh, definitely. We from the beginning was win a conference title, win a conference championship, and go to a bowl game. Because the 4 years past, we had the talent. We couldn't put it together. And this year, probably one of the best year of football, high school through college, ever got to experience. It was fun. Winning 10 games, going to the bowl game down in Mobile, going to GoDaddy Bowl, getting to experience that. And we that was our goal, to be a conference champion and to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, and you mentioned the GoDaddy Bowl. You guys played Northern Illinois. Not everybody that plays college football gets to experience that bowl game. You know, I mean, just talk about that whole week leading up to the game. I mean, what did you get from the bowl game experience playing in front of 40,000 people in Mobile, Alabama?
It was a blast. Leading up the week up there, first of all, Arkansas State, we had the best fans in the Sun Belt, bar none. We traveled, I think it was 12 to 15,000 fans from Jonesboro, Arkansas, to Mobile, which Jonesboro, Arkansas is about 60,000 people. So that's roughly a quarter of the town came to Mobile. And the bowl officials there, everybody, you know, talked about how they just needed to name that Jonesboro, Arkansas number two, because, you know, our fans are there. They're wild. They're crazy. Got to meet new people. Got to meet people who loved our program and for so long wanted us, wanted a winning season, and just glad that we were able to give it to them. Getting to the bowl game, you know, we lost. We didn't play our best, and, you know, no excuses about it. No excuses about having a coaching staff that was shortchanged because of Coach Freeze taking an opportunity to go to his dream job. We didn't play as well as we should have. We were a good enough team to beat them. We should have beat them. But getting to play in that ball game was still fun. Anytime you get to lace up and play football and get to hit somebody, it's always a blast. And it didn't hurt that it was in front of 40,000 people, majority of them being your fans. So it was definitely an awesome experience.
Overall, I mean, this senior class has to feel good about the state of the football program that they're leaving Arkansas State in. I mean, you guys had 10 victories this past season, fourth in school history. You go to the bowl game. So the senior class really leaving the program in a good spot in terms of, you know, some of the underclassmen and up-and-coming freshmen that are coming into the program. Now, we're talking to Arkansas State long snapper William Outlaw here on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight. And before we kick off three and out, William, I always like to give every player the opportunity to speak out there to any NFL team that might be listening to our show. Tell us why they should draft William Outlaw and give them a chance in an NFL training camp.
I am very, very consistent with my snaps. My snaps are, you know, I average snaps between 6'7" and 6'5", and everyone was on the hip. I don't, you know, I'm full of confidence. You know, I'm very confident with my snaps. Big crowds and pressure situations do not affect me. You know, I want to snap in the Super Bowl. I want to snap game winning snaps, field goals. I want to get down there. I want to make every tackle. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, if it's Ted Ginn Jr. or somebody else. I will find a way to make a tackle. I'm, you know, class act guy. not going to give your program or give your team any problems, not going to embarrass the team. That's about it. You know, I get the job done.
Well, very well said. That's what teams will be looking for at the next level. As we kick it off with three and out now, William, we're going to go to a little bit more lighter side of things as we close it out, get to know you a little bit off the field. What's the last movie you saw, and how was it?
Last movie I saw was The Hunger Games, and it was awesome. I read the three books, and it definitely lived up to it. So definitely suggest going to watch The Hunger Games.
Oh, interesting, because usually the books usually don't live up to the movies. So The Hunger Games gets your endorsement.
It does.
Okay, and let's go second down. Let's stick over to the entertainment theme. You know, who's your favorite actor or actress?
Favorite actor has to be Morgan Freeman. His movies, I can't think of a movie that he was in that was bad. Between, you know, whether he was in a secondary role with The Dark Knight or a primary role with Bucket List. I really enjoy his movies. And then favorite actress has to be Sandra Bullock. She played a good role in The Blind Side, which is, you know, actually a movie about Coach Freeze, my college coach, who and Michael Orr. So she did a good job playing Miss Tui.
Good choice. Little nugget there with Coach Freeze. I did not know that. And Morgan Freeman, you know, Shawshank Redemption, another good one. All right, well, let's go third down and wrap this up. William, let me hear the iPod rotation. What do you listen to before the game or working out?
Okay, I'm a big Christian music artist guy. I love listening to Sanctus Rio, Building 429, Casting Crowns. And I'm big into the string quartet. I like the remixes they do to more contemporary music, such as Eye of the Tiger and Journey, and just songs like that, but with just string quartets. It's pretty fun to listen to.
I love the diversity of it, and I love throwing that question out there. You know, we get all kinds of different music artists and genres, and like to hear what people are listening to. So good stuff from you. Enjoyed talking to you and talking about your whole process leading up to the 2012 NFL draft. Best of luck to you this week. The process will finally be all done with, just 3 days away from the 2012 NFL draft. That was Arkansas State long snapper William Outlaw, and you can also check him out on Twitter. Thanks for spending some time with us, William.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right, so William Outlaw of Arkansas State, long snapper. A lot of kids coming out of Arkansas State this past season, some guys on the NFL radar. You heard him mention some of the guys, DeMario Davis, Kelsey McCray. They have another junior quarterback, Ryan Appelin, also on the NFL radar for next season. But we're going to continue to move with our NFL radar, and we have up next, I believe, Mario Woods is joining us on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. Mario, I'm sorry, we have Marvin Sanders, I believe, right now. Is that Marvin? Marvin, are you with us? Let's go to Marvin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, I knew I had you. Marvin Sanders, you know, we've been trying to catch up with you now. I believe we tried to have you on yesterday. You were working out, so I apologize for that. But the Illinois State slot guy, big play, wide receiver in the slot, kick return man, over 2,000 all-purpose yards. Talk to us about the pro day. Let's start right there, because you came out there and got some attention from the pro scouts. I know they were calling after your pro day workout, running in that 4.5 range, 30 and a half inch vertical jump, 9'1" broad jump. What kind of feedback did you take out of your pro day, Marvin?
Pro day went pretty well. I mean, I thought I could have did, you know, a little better in some areas, but overall, I thought my training, you know, it went very well, and it showed on pro day. So, I mean, feedback's been really well, so I really like what I did pro day.
Okay, and then, you know, is there any area of your game that you've been working on trying to improve leading up to the NFL draft?
Definitely want to improve on, like, strength, because I felt like I wasn't that strong, and I want to improve on my quickness. So that's really what I was working at.
Okay, and I know last season you really burst onto the scene over there at Illinois State. You led the team in receiving, 73 catches as a junior, lots of big plays mixed in there. And then this past season you missed a couple games due to a hand injury, I know, but still came back and was second on the team in receiving despite missing a few games. First off, you know, is your hand 100% full strength now? And secondly, just talk to us a little bit about the adversity and having to be forced to watch the game from the sidelines and going through that whole experience.
First, the hands, it's 100%. And watching games from the sideline, that was horrible. And that was tough because I wanted to be out there with my teammates, man, because, you know, we bonded together, and it was just real hard watching them play, and I couldn't be a part of it. So that was probably the toughest part of my career.
And, you know, did you find yourself being a senior team leader and having to sit out a couple games? Did you find yourself being more of a coach to some of the younger guys? I know you're a player that the team kind of looks towards inside the locker room for team leadership. Take us through that whole process and kind of playing the coaching role a little bit more while you were on the sidelines.
The coaching role, it went real well because a lot of times, because our coach, he's up in the box. So when they had a lot of questions, they used to just come to me on the field and I used to help them out, you know. So, I mean, that went real well. It was just real tough watching them play and then knowing you really couldn't be out there helping them.
And we're talking to Marvin Sanders, the Illinois State wide receiver, return man extraordinaire. You know, let's talk a little bit about your return abilities because, you know, for those of you who have followed your career, you kind of burst onto the scene as a freshman at Eastern Michigan. I know you made a lot of big plays as a return man there, and then you come over to Illinois State and continue to be an effective return man. Over 2,000 all-purpose yards between the receiving, rushing, returning. You know, is that something that NFL teams sound like they've been excited about when you talk to them, your ability to return kicks?
Oh, yeah. That's a big part, especially with my side. That's a big part of what they've been looking at, a lot of punt returns. So with me being a shiftier guy, I mean, punt returns really right up my alley, and it's something I really like to do. So it's something they've been really excited about.
And, you know, talking about the Redbird season this past year, you guys had a pretty good year overall, winning record. Do you feel like you guys achieved what you went out to do this past year for Illinois State?
No, not at all. We felt like we were better than our record. You know, we probably lost to a couple teams that we shouldn't have. And granted, I think we should have made playoffs. But, I mean, we had a decent year, but it wasn't nearly the goals that we wanted to accomplish.
And we're talking to Marvin Sanders on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show, bringing you the players you need to know first. Marvin, we talked a little bit about some of the things that you've worked on getting better at. What do you think is your biggest strength of your game?
Biggest strength is probably quickness and probably my drive, honestly. I mean, I love to compete, so that's something that's always I've always been known for. I'm a big competitor, and then I think quickness is probably my biggest strength.
Quick, tough, speedy. We're talking to Marvin Sanders from Illinois State. And Marvin, you know, people hear Illinois State, they might not associate it with the NFL, but I kind of dug in the crates and checked the archives. 22 players have come out of Illinois State at the NFL level, and most recently, a guy that, you know, NFL fans, no stranger to NFL fans, Laurent Robinson, you know, the wide receiver, just signed a contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars this past offseason. 5 years, $32 million. Not too bad for a guy from Illinois State. You know, Do you think that maybe you got to work a little bit harder, though, just because Illinois State isn't on the NFL map like some of the bigger schools?
Yeah, I feel that way, that you have to work a little bit harder. But at the same time, I feel if you're good, I believe somebody will notice you. But I feel, as a smaller school, you probably have to work a little harder than somebody at a larger school.
Yeah, talent always rises to the top. Have you had a chance to talk to Laurent Robinson at all about the NFL and taking the step to the next level?
No, I haven't had a chance to talk to him.
You know, he'll tell you that, I know we had him on the show a couple years back, he'll tell you the biggest difference is the size of the playbook. So get ready for that. And then also, you know, the speed of the game. Those are probably the biggest adjustments at the next level. So, you know, we are keeping tabs on you as we get closer. Just 3 days away, and it's been a long process. I know, I mean, you guys put months and months of work into leading up to the NFL draft. What's been the biggest, you know, learning experience, do you think, you know, just in terms of the preparation and everything that goes into training to get to the next level?
Preparation, man. Preparation is just a lot harder than just prepping with everybody else, because preparation now, you're doing it really for yourself. So a lot of the workouts, you're only by yourself or you're with one or two people. So that makes it a little harder than it is with, like, prepping with a whole team. So it's more individualized now. So that's really what I've learned.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the team that calls your name or gets you into camp. We'll be keeping tabs on you. We do want to go to do the three and out with you. But first, you know, we like to always give a player's opportunity for any teams out there listening. You know, tell us why they should roll the dice, take a chance on Marvin Sanders, and why they'll be rewarded.
They're going to get a very reliable person on and off the field. You know, somebody that studies the playbook, somebody that comes to practice to work every day. I'll stay in the film room. I mean, I'm a very reliable person. You're going to be getting a very good player that's going to make plays. So that's really that's the reasons why our team should draft him.
All right, Marvin Woods, Illinois State wideout, joining us on the NFL Draft 5 Player Spotlight Show. Time to go three and out with you, Marvin. First down, we're going to go first down with how about a favorite player or favorite team growing up? Who did you root for?
Favorite player by far, Steve Smith.
Oh, okay. Is that someone that you kind of try to embrace or kind of see yourself as a similar player?
Of course, man. He's short wide receiver, you know, so I kind of compare myself to him. He has different attributes than I do, but at the same time, that's by far my favorite player.
All right, very good. And how about, you know, let's go second down. You know, let's see, there's not really a lot of good movies out there lately. I'm trying to find a good one. What's the last movie that you saw? How was it?
This Saturday, I just seen Think Like a Man. It was actually very funny. It was funnier than I thought, because I thought it was going to be a chick flick at first, but that's really not what it was. So it was a
really
good movie.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know. Good to know. Because I, you know, I'm looking for a good movie out there. I walked out of the last one. I won't give them the bad publicity, but you know, maybe I'll go check that out. And you know, the last one I'm going to hit you with, third down. You know, we've had some very diverse music the last couple of player interviews, everything from classical to hip-hop to Christian and everything in between. What's on the Marvin Sanders iPod rotation when you're working out?
Probably going to hear a lot of Lil Wayne on there.
Okay.
Probably a lot of Lil Wayne. Maybe a couple Young Jeezy songs. That's about it. That's really who I'm listening to right now.
All right. So there you have it. Marvin Sanders of Illinois State, wide receiver, kick return extraordinaire, punt returner, looking to make a splash at the next level, just 3 days away from the 2012 NFL draft. And I know that, you know, we'll be keeping tabs on you, Marvin. Hopefully we can get you back on the show after this whole process unfolds. But best of luck to you this week. And
thanks
for taking some time out of your schedule for joining us here on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. That was Marvin Sanders, Illinois State wide receiver, as we go coast to coast, border to border, and bring you the players you need to know first. We did speak to Tommy Hampton, Elijah Davis, William Outlaw, and Marvin Sanders during the show. If you missed any of those interviews, you can go back and check out the archives right here on our Blog Talk Radio page, All Access Football. Make sure you check us out on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. Log on to NFLDraftBible.com for more draft updates, and we will be giving you for the fourth or fifth year, however long Twitter's been around, we will give you the tweet-by-tweet coverage, live coverage from inside Radio City during the draft weekend. Got a couple more player interviews coming up between now and then. Keep a lookout for Mario Woods, big play linebacker, safety from Virginia at Lynchburg. We'll be having him on the show, 12.5 sacks this past year. And then Jose Gums from Monmouth, Pride of New Jersey. We're trying to get him on as well. tomorrow night, Tuesday, from 8 to 10 p.m., we'll be joined by Joe Everett of RookieDraft.com and the good Reverend Ralph Mantini from the NFL Draft Bible, and, of course, the NFL Draft Ninja, Beau Marchant. It'll be our biggest podcast of the season. We do have some other special guests lined up, such as Albany quarterback Dan DeLela, the best quarterback nobody's been talking about. And we will have Bobby Darin, the author from Draft Season, as well as some other surprises that may pop up. So if you have any NFL draft questions that you want to have answered on the show, tweet us, email us, and we'll answer them on the air live. We will also have the chat room going as well. So, you know, 3 days away, that's what's going on at the NFL Draft Bible. Make sure you tune in and check it out. That about does it for this episode. Like I said, we will post the new shows and information on the website and Twitter. So make sure that you check us out there. For your host, Rick Saratella, I am signing off and look forward to the 2012 NFL Draft. And thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. Till next time.